The Betway SA20 is a larger-than-life South African sporting showpiece event that is about to go into its highly anticipated fourth season. It's a magical month of entertainment, both on and off the field, and it all starts right here at the official auction event in Johannesburg. Ben is here, Shaz is here, this guy is here, that guy too, and him, and her. All because we're about to find out who the six teams are adding to their playing squads to give themselves the best chance to be champions when the tournament begins on December the 26th. It's episode 65 of the On The Bounce show. It's the big SA20 auction show. Let's get into it. Alrighty, welcome to it. We are out of studio this week and we're doing this for a very, very big reason. Shaz, I think as far as starting shows go, this might be my peak. This is the happiest I've been. This is the most excited I've been. We're at the Betway SA20 auction.
Going to be an exciting auction. I won't jump into the players just yet, but you know, we're super excited to see the marquee players in SA play against each other at a high level. Festive cricket. It's going to be super, super insane. I won't tell you who you guys I'm backing, but you know, I'm a Joburg Brew at heart. So I'm hoping we do something better for that. But you know, the way this has grown is so huge. You know, it's now becoming a marquee league. I will put it above the Big Bash. So now we're in a
we're in a
great place with SA cricket. And you know, we always talk about going to go watch the games, and we've been so deprived of late. Now we get to see our stars playing at a high level in South Africa.
Well, yeah, it's the fourth season now this tournament's going through. A bit different this year because obviously it starts on Boxing Day because we haven't got the test match cricket we used to obviously have. But we've got this incredible window. And you're probably asking, like, why are we at the auction? Like, the tournament's got a long way to go until it starts.
Yeah.
But then we did some digging, right? It turns out this auction's actually where you need to be at.
Yeah.
Because you get to understand who the players are coming through the mix. We'll 100%. get into the whole nitty-gritty in a second for you.
Yeah.
But just to understand how big this event is, you just said now you put it ahead of the Big Bash. Yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I walked around here earlier and we're going to show it. And the reason we're here actually is to basically give you all the behind the scenes of what makes this event so incredible with all the different people that actually are here today. I mean, I don't think I've seen so many world-class famous names
up and down. Me and you were having a bit of a grouping moment as we walked past Mark Boucher and you know Jacques Cullis walking up and down here. So yeah, I get a tick off a couple of things off my box.
And this is a great thing. Like, we've had some great guests in the show today. I think it's on a whole different level.
Yeah.
So that's what this episode is going to be all about today, the Betway SA20 auction. One of the things you have to do is you need to get pre-registration on the tickets. So if you go to sa20.co.za, up until midnight on September the 15th, you can register your interest to get the tickets because we know these games sell out.
Yeah.
This is one of the things about the SA20, which we are so excited to tell you about today, is that you can't sleep on this. Yeah, there's no 100%. Messing around. There's not like, what are we doing next Friday? You've got to start planning your summer now because these things are going to sell out.
I think what's going to be exciting about this is a new element of cricket that we can go watch on Boxing Day. You know, so that's, I think for me and you, we're going to enjoy it. And I think, you know, as we've always talked about, bringing a new element to that festive cricket. So I'm very excited about that.
All right, so while we sort of gather ourselves and where we are today, let's just show you actually a little bit from behind the scenes of what it's like, this event right now, in the build-up to this incredible auction. Yeah, it's a thing, this, eh? Yeah. We are in the Galleria here in Sandton, quite close to our studios, but wow, the scale of this event. I mean, Shaz and I walked around this sort of back labyrinth over here. There's press rooms, there's interview rooms, there's hair and makeup, which we still don't have.
Yeah, but we're going to get to there.
We watch people get hair and makeup. Marv, we watch people get made up today. See, but Shaz, we need to do events like this to get to that level. Okay, so before we actually get people into our studio this week and we get into like what's really happening out there, let's run through the nitty-gritty of the auction.
Cool.
541 players is what it got whittled down to, okay? So wherever you are and you fancy yourself as a professional T20 cricketer,
jump in.
There are world's
everyone around there, different leagues, you can apply for this, right? Mm. Got whittled down to 541. 300 of the people on offer today are from South Africa,
yeah.
Of which 133 are SA under 23 players.
Yeah.
So we'll get into the dynamic of SA under 23, which is really cool.
Yeah.
There's 241 overseas-based players in the mix here.
Yeah,
I mean, I was surprised at some of the names.
Yeah, I mean,
and you look at the fact, like how deep this auction goes.
No, it's gonna be it's a very deep one, and you know, some fan faves. I told you, James Anderson for me, nice to see him now come play. You know, the T20.
But I always feel like one of the big talking points today are the guys that won't get sold. That's how competitive it is, because out of all those places there, there's only 84 slots today that can get filled.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting who they pick and who they leave out, because I think that's gonna be a true test of how people have been playing. And also, we've seen a lot of domestic cricket. And I think for me, that's probably the biggest showcase. There are a lot of players who played SAA and who had a very big, very big showcases in that. So that's going to be also where we are in terms of our cricket. So I'm excited to see that.
So 84 slots that need to be filled across all the teams. Of course, there are six teams in the SA20.
Yeah.
131 million rand is left for this. Okay. Yeah. So every team starts the season with 41 million, which puts us at the second biggest salary cap behind the IPL.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these are big numbers we should be really excited about. This isn't just another league. We are one of the best now in the country.
Yeah.
So six teams, every team has got 19 squad players they got to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it starts to get tricky. And this is where we have to actually break it down for you.
Yes, we have to.
Every single one of these teams gets a wild card pick. Okay, so now we just spoke about every team getting 41 million rand. We spoke about 131 being left across the teams.
100%.
The wild card guy is outside of that. You can break another bank for that guy.
For that guy. Yeah. Sheesh.
So we're going to get into that as well. So everyone has got a wild card. Now, the wild card could be any international player or a South African player that featured in the last SA20.
Okay.
Okay, so you are allowed to have seven overseas players in your entire mix, which is obviously huge when it comes to this kind of thing, is to pick and choose who you're going to have, and 11 SA players, two of which must be under 23. So by Christmas Day this year, they need to be 22 or younger. And the cool thing is it's replacing that rookie thing, because they really want to invest in the local talent
100%.
And make sure there's like a succession plan. So those are your basic numbers that we've got up here. You're allowed to retain players, obviously.
Yeah.
So as we know, Sunrisers, Eastern Cape, they started so well in the season. They won the first few times.
And then they started in the finals. It,
But they always retained, they had a great core of players. Mm. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed a maximum of six players retained.
Yeah.
Three SA, three overseas.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good players are now being released back into the pit, so to speak. I mean, to use Sunrisers, Eastern Cape as another example.
Yeah.
They've released Ada Markram back there. To use MI Cape Town, they've released Devalt Brevis into the mix.
And I was shocked about Cape Town because they actually did retain quite a few players.
Hugely.
And then to leave Devalt Brevis behind is going to be interesting moving forward, because he's had such a spectacular, you know, SA season. You know, he's been one of the marquee players. So,
well, he also averaged almost 50 in the tournament last year.
I mean, geez. So for me, that is going to be exciting. I think that's why you can see the competition pool. And looking at like a team like Pretoria, where they've got very low retention. So they're going to go swing for it.
Mm.
So I'm excited about that.
All right. So we'll go team by team in a bit. But one thing I want to bring up here is that even though these teams get to release the players out there because they can retain so few, this year, this thing called the right to match card. So again, we're going to use Sunrisers Eastern Cape, because I think when people hear right to match, they think about Ada Markram straight away.
Yes.
So if every other team, all the five other teams go, we want a piece of this action, and they start bidding on Ada Markram, whatever the guy with the gabble, forget his name now, Richard, whatever he gabbles on,
is
a gabble. Gabble or gabble?
I think it's gabble.
Whatever he says sold on, they can go, guys, we're going to match that bid. We want to retain our players.
But, you know, the exciting part about this is that all of those have ramifications on your salary cap. So I think that's why Ada Markram is a difficult one, because if they go for him for the full 10, the greater team salary cap is going to be the issue. And that's something me and you are looking at.
Well, Shazis, you are throwing forward to our next section. Okay, cool. So we're going to show you a bit more around of the behind the scenes of the event itself. And when we come back, we're going to have a proper look at the teams, because as Shaz points out, these salary caps, which teams have how many spots available and how much money they got to play with, creates the most fascinating of all the dynamics here for today. All right, so we need to have a look at the teams now. There's six teams in the Betway SA 20 every single year. It's a nice, tight little knit unit. But what's even more interesting about this year is that with the 19 players, there is a player 20. So we have Sunrise's Eastern Cape player 20.
Making sure she rips where she stays.
No, hang on. There's only 19 spots. So what does player 20 mean?
Because 19 is a weird number, right?
So 19th is my birthday, so tread carefully.
Okay, I'm going to go with it. It's an odd number. 19 is an odd number. We need the 20th to really bring the hearse and get it all together. So you are the Sunrise's Eastern Cape's player 20.
Yes. Is player 20 like the 12th man, the one that brings out the drinks?
The guy who swings, the guy who swings the towels. Make sure that we, you know, the hearse.
I keep, you know, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to like we bat. I don't have to bowl.
You don't have to bat or bowl, but you get to celebrate the victories.
Yes.
And that's it.
And pour the power in and everything.
The you're there for the highs. That's it.
Completely.
Oh, sign me up. We're aside for player 20.
Nothing but the highs. You're not going to watch the game and like on the grass. You'll be somewhere nice.
Okay.
You'll get to meet all the players, do all the cool stuff.
I want to sit where Tristan Stubbs is sitting. Where's that?
Then you'll sit right next to him. There you are, player 20.
Well, okay. So now you've hastened us into it. Okay. Tristan Stubbs, one of the guys your team has retained.
Okay.
So as we spoke, you're allowed six players to be retained. And then your team... they finished third last year, but then they got to the final and finished second.
I was about to say, we were in the final.
Third log, third in the log. But then they powered through. Okay, so they've retained Tristan Stubbs, Alaa Gunzafar, Adam Milne, and Johnny Bairstow. Any of those other than Tristan Stubbs?
Lost a major player.
We're going to get to
that. Who did we lose?
Aiden Markram.
Oh, but I want him, and I want this new kid that's been scoring.
So you want Adam Markram to be retained, and
Devil Brevis, the one that got like 450s and 100.
Claps all the sixes, head down and go.
Yeah.
Dude,
my son this morning, when I went to go kiss him goodbye, I was like, okay, cheers, because he knows I'm coming here.
Yeah.
He's like, Mom, you have to get De Villiers 2.0. And I was like, which one is he again? He's like, Devil.
So he is De Villiers 2.0. I like that.
He's got all the mannerisms. Okay? Yeah. Everything about him.
He probably plays the guitar as well.
No one's seen if he can sing yet. It's such a good point.
I think he's good with the guitar, guys. If he's our De Villiers 2.0, he may be able to string something together.
Okay, so your wild card is Marco Janssen. Oh. Marco Janssen, of course. So outside of the player salary cap, they can spend any money on the circuit. That's how good he is.
Okay.
That's your guy.
And Marco Janssen was absolutely great last season
of the season.
So I hope they retain him. But let's see. Let's mix it up. Let's see what happens with the wild card.
Has anybody taken De Kock yet? Because I like his aggression.
Well, he is a free agent as well. A little bit down on the value. Okay,
but then you can't have them all. No.
Eyeball. Guys, it is a rare occurrence that I'm discussing Lobola for me. I feel like the uncle here. You leave me alone.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I will say what I want and do what I want.
So have you been to an auction before?
No, I'm not. I'm so excited. It's the first one. I watched this on TV last year.
I'm also damn excited. Okay, so it's all quite quiet. But I mean, you guys have got 21.5 million rand to spend on these players.
Yeah.
Have they told you things you can do, not do? Has there been decorum has been said?
No, I did say I bought a little bit of money to add to the kitty myself. Oh. I bought 22,000 rand.
Just in case I shrunk to somebody.
I bought wings on the way here. So it's 21,890. So I don't know what that's going to help. But I'm just here to once again round everything off. I'm the 20th person. I've got the extra change.
You know what? I was going to say that. Am I Cape Town is going to win again this year?
No, it's not.
But now I'm talking to
Big call.
I'm talking to you and how your management style is coming through. I reckon Sunrisers, Eastern Cape.
And also remember Sunrisers, we've won this 3 times in a row, hey?
Yeah.
For season one, season two, it's like Grey's Anatomy. Season one, season two, season three, it was us.
I'm just going to step in. You won the first two. Let's
not get too carried away.
Last year was finals. But anyway, that's the motivation. That's the motivational speech you'll give us player 20, right? Guys? Great first season, great second season, last season, what happened?
Yeah.
It's fine. It's all sport. We had to give other guys a chance to win.
Oh,
right now, you know what? The comeback is sweeter than staying on top. It's easy to stay at the top. When you drop down and you have to fight your way back, you've got a goal. If you're at the top, what are you fighting? Yourselves.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Now we've got something to prove. We've got something to prove that we were supposed to win last year.
I'm going
to
look for you in every single one of these games. I'm
going to look for you. Player 20 speech is the best right now.
She's going to be next to the dugout. She's going to be walking in the teams.
Yeah. And I'm player 20. So I'm going to say things like, guys, I got 20-20 vision. I see us in the final.
Bars.
I see it.
Shaz, I feel sorry for the other teams. Yeah. their player 20s are
in trouble right now.
You know, for a person who found out she's player 20 minutes ago, I'm doing quite well at this thing. Somebody bid for me. How much? Do I hear 100? Do I hear 300? 500? 500 million? 400 million? What's going on? Sold.
Yeah.
All righty. Sunrise Eastern Cape. At the end of the show, we're going to tell you exactly who they did manage to get,
yep,
how much money they spent, and how much Anelli got involved in the actual process of this. All right, the next team we're going to have a look at is the Durban Supergiants. They didn't have a great season last year in the Betway SA 20, but this year is going to be different. And it's going to be different for two reasons. First and foremost, they're going to the auction with 29.5 million rand. Yeah. And yeah, secondly, they've got Skulk Bezuidenhout as their player 20.
Doesn't matter that they had a bad season last year, because I didn't watch cricket last year.
Oh, yes.
I'm only starting to watch cricket this year, so... So last year doesn't even exist in my world.
So Skulk is the good luck charm. That's what he's saying. Player 20 on the Gear speech now.
They're warming up. So Skulk, just for some reference though, okay, they finished sixth.
Please tell me all the reference, because I don't think anyone here realizes how little I know about cricket. I'm here for Gears. People who support cricket have been telling me for years, you know, I was one of those people that go, cricket's boring, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
But like, Skulk, get involved, the Gears. The Gears. So now I'm like, I'm here for the Gears. And I don't know the rules. I don't know the teams.
No, this is what I'm going to give you the backstory.
I don't know the players. I saw Hashim Amla.
Yeah.
I remember them because the kids in school traded cards.
Somebody's my age.
I think there was a Tazzo at some point with Hashim Amla.
Somebody's my age exposing Tazzos and everything.
Okay, so Skulk, so people are going to ask you, like, what's different about your team? And your opening line is going to be, okay, cool. They finished last year, but that's fine.
Last
year,
they were sixth.
Six out of six. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So they finished last and they retained not many players. They basically said...
Who's our best? Who's our number one?
Oof. Well, Sunil Narine. There's a guy you need to put your head around.
Okay.
Sunil Narine, amazing West Indian player. You got Noor Ahmed, solid all-rounder. And then you got Josh Butler. Now, Josh Butler,
what
he's an English
oak. What does all-rounder mean?
He does everything. Okay.
Well. Bat and ball. Okay, but Josh Butler's a big signing for your Oaks this year. Yeah. So he was playing at the Paul Royals dressed in pink. Now he's coming up to Durban, going to be in the full blue. Okay, but now your wild card.
But I thought we're only bidding later.
Has he
been bought already?
So you get pre-signings.
Yeah.
So season you're allowed to retain six Oaks, three local guys, three foreigners. And then there's a pre-signing process where you can get some of the money
spent. So
we've
got this guy.
You've got that Oak.
Okay, that's good.
Josh
I'm going to tell the owner that's
Josh
good.
Josh Butler just played against the Proteas, slammed the bowlers everywhere. Proper guy.
Great.
But then you got Henrik Claassen as your wild card.
That's where you need to start with. Henrik Claassen is your wild card if you don't know anything.
Is he signed already?
He's in.
Okay,
he's
I like a wild
he's
card.
He's already got the kids on.
Why is he wild? In a good way or bad way?
Good way.
He's wild with the bats.
Not a wild card in that way.
Hard to manage.
He's not coming out of a hotel room.
No. That's
okay, crazy. So the cool about the wild card is he's not even part of your player salary cap. So you can give this Oak as much money as you want, which I think they have because he's really good.
Okay.
Cool thing about your team as well, Alan Donald, Lance Klusener, they're the coaches.
I know those names.
Thank you. Part of your
Lance Klusener. Was he a cricketer?
Yes.
Zulu, no. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Lance Klusener.
Lance Klusener.
So I've got to ask you this, because now you know you play at 20 and you've got to give the rah-rah speech.
Yes.
So what are you going to say in your rah-rah speech as you know, getting the guys motivated to get on the pitch?
Is this before in the dressing room?
Any game. Opening game, playoff game.
Yo, I think my rah-rah speech will be, guys, just have fun because we can only go up.
What a See, thing
that's
to
the,
say.
We can only, that's the nice thing about being lost.
But that's why we had to give them the perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we end fifth this year, well, next year.
Yeah.
So you guys today have the right to match Keshav Maharaj, world's best one-day bowler.
Yep.
He was playing with the Oaks last season, but they couldn't retain him, not enough players. They've also hoyed Vian Mulder out of here, but he had the best score for South Africa in a test match.
Yep.
So you can match those Oaks if you want to bring them back. And then Matthew Brietske, another Oak on your radar.
I've been hearing of Brietske, and the guy I've got my eye on, because I've just been hearing the murmuring, Davi Brevis.
Yes, Davi Brevis.
So close.
Yeah.
I think if we just go for... So there's a couple of names we can go here. Davi Brevis, actual name.
Yep. Yeah, but Davi for us, you know.
when you're part of the family, we give you your name. Or just call him Baby Abi, because we will call him that, because he's like
that.
A broken down version of Abi. Yeah. Abi Davidis 2.0 even. That looks
I don't want to. I don't want him to live in Abi's shadow. I agree with
he's
Davi for me. Davi B.
Yeah.
Take him out of his own shadow even and call him Davi.
Yeah, Davi. What is our chances of getting Derby?
Well, you guys are going actually with 29.5 million because
and
you've
turfed the average
out.
What per player? What can we?
But look, he's a superstar. But he's like a superstar, and a lot of people are going to be bidding for him.
No,
so it's going to be interesting.
So when he comes out on auction, right? Okay. Oaks are going to lose their minds. Okay. Every team is going to be watching this Oak like the hot chick in the bar. It's going to be tough. But because your Oaks turfed so many players from last season, you guys have got 29.5 million.
Okay,
is that
a lot?
The most paddles in the air today, your team.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad I'm with DSG then. I'm with DSG.
I like that you've got somebody that you've got on the board.
The reason I went with DSG, I haven't said this yet, is because I'm now Belita resident.
Yeah.
And I don't want a repeat thing of, you know, I grew up in Kempton Park, but always my whole life I've been a Stormer because my dad was a Stormer. I still don't understand why. Mm. But now you're so far from your team. Yeah. You know, you Gauteng based.
And you're old enough to care.
The Stormers are all the way in I never understood. I always thought you just have to support where you live because that's the...
But
this
is the great thing about this tournament, right? It brings so much to all the major cities. So if you're in and around Durban's super giant.
Why does Paul have their own team? They're not a major city. They're Dorf.
Great question.
And I'll tell you why.
We might as well have
Valcom Warriors. It's funny we both thought Valcom. No, because
the Hermanus Hurricanes. Why is Paul having their own?
The Potchefstroom.
Oh, Hermanus Hurricanes is my favorite one so far.
Yeah, you're right. Look, Paul's the only Dorpy out of all of this, but it's in the Cape, so everybody wants to be there. It's like you're going watching games.
But Cape Town already has a team.
I know, but that's Newlands. That's far away. It's down there in one. Oaks have forgotten about it. Okay, so Skulk, you're going to go back into auction over here. You know your Oaks got the most money. You're looking to fill 15 spots.
Who's got the second most money? Just so I know.
Pocket watching.
Because we've got 29.5 million. Who's got the second most? And
I got that wrong. There's a team with more money who actually didn't like the players even less. Pretoria Capitals. They're going with the most money, actually. They've got 32.5 million.
That sounds like corruption.
Well, they've only retained three Oaks. Will, Jax. No, they've retained two Oaks and
two
a wild
Oaks,
card. But we'll get to them in a bit. Yep. Okay, so look. Skulk is just new to this. Let's not give him too much information to bombard him with. Durban Super Giants player 20, Skulk Bizade notes, and they're going to be looking to get Darvi Brevis. Yes.
Darvi Brevis.
Come on, Darvi.
Darvi. He's our man. Darvi. Bat him if you can. Is
yeah,
he a
I like that one.
He's a batsman.
No,
keep that one.
Never mind. Okay.
You got that. Right, okay, time to get onto the floor, and then we're going to get back to you with all the big happenings of who went where, for how much, and all the rest. So we just got through the first major session with the marquee players, and Shaz and I are like kids in a candy store at the moment. And another person who feels kind of similar is our friend Kooks. He's also here.
On the ground, as we always say. Kooks, how are you doing, bud?
Oh, good, thank you. I mean, Aiden Marco and Devil Brevis, so you need to find a way to become mates with them.
Yeah, 100%. Christmas is on them this year.
Yeah, guys. So we spoke at the start of the show about the 10 million rand getting taken away. It got absolutely obliterated. First by Aiden Marco, who became the highest paid guy at auction.
Yeah, 14.
Which lasted all of however many minutes.
35 seconds.
You know, it's just so incredible to watch the dynamics with the different teams, right? Because everyone's got a game plan, which hopefully we find out a little bit later. But Kooks, I mean, obviously you're here in the super sport capacity, so you are with the guys, you're with all the legends, who are basically your mates now. This is how big of a deal you've
pretty much it.
But I mean, I'd be right by saying, like, all these guys go in, okay, how do we get Brevis? And if we don't get Brevis, what's the next step?
Do you
reckon that was the game plan?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Pretoria Capitals, I think with the amount of money they had, I mean, and also like, it kind of felt like they had a Markram or Brevis, we kind of have to get one of those guys.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, let's say Pretoria Capitals don't get either one of them, there's a good chance they could probably walk out of the auction with like 10 or 15 million rand because no one else was going to go for that amount of money. Or you find yourself overspending on other players. Because I think it's funny, like you look at like what teams are sitting now, like so the 11 or the 8 months, you can still pick up a decent squad of Oaks for like 500K, 325K, you know. But what a story. I mean, like Markram, you know, you're betting yourself, you go in the auction, find yourself at DSG, and something like Brevis, it just shows you find form at the right time. Like, you probably say when the year started and you finished at MI, you had a good season last year, obviously, was a young player of the year, and then he gets his chance to pro, just gets a massive 100 against Australia, hits a run of form, perfect time to be in auction, and And now look, he shatters the record in 16.5 million
16.5
So just to see how we got to the 16.5, obviously every team was going for that and vying for that. As we said before we went into the room.
Yeah, we had like 10.
It's like, it might be in thereabouts, but yeah. The Capitals have to get him and they have to build a team around him.
Yeah.
They got him. That first session was really successful for them. Were you surprised that, you wouldn't be surprised because nobody could match that bet because nobody had enough money to match it. So MI Cape Town, we're never going to be on it.
Yeah.
But were you surprised that Markram went for as much money as he did?
I was really surprised. And I was also surprised that Sunrisers were willing just to say, okay, fine. Because they still had money on the board when they did that. I think... for me, what is surprising is that the leadership skill that you lose with Markram leaving is a big...
Such a good point,
yeah. It's a big call-out. So for them to completely move into another direction was very surprising for me. So that you can see that they're moving into a new dawn. And good luck to the Durban team. I like how aggressive they were. I mean, they brought on Kwena Mapaka as well. So you cover some holes there and you aggressively go into the season saying that we are the team to look out for. So I'm really happy with that.
I mean, the guys with the most money were always going to come out swinging. And it was so fun to watch in the beginning. It was Pretoria Capitals, yeah. Durban Super Giants. And the paddles were going like this.
Yeah.
And when you watch the auctioneer guy, he was having the time of his life because he was basically just counting up from 2 million all the way through to like 14, 15, 16. Because at the beginning, it was almost like watching like a cycling race in those tracks.
Yeah.
Everyone stands dead still in the beginning. Markram came up and it was like 500,000. Everyone was like...
Nah.
I was like, there's no way he's gonna go 500,000.
Yeah. Does he got a catastrophic injury no one knows about? Yeah. The moment a couple of those bids came in, suddenly it absolutely flew. But that's the thing, there's so many different aspects of players and teams want different kind of things.
Yeah.
Cook, so far, the Capitals have done bloody well in getting Brevis. But now, where can they go with the batsman? Do you think that they've got like a different strategy? Like, okay, we go up front with him. And then we pick up guys towards the end.
Yeah.
Is the talk in the green room with your very famous mates?
Yeah, I think you look at it. I mean, they still got Will Jacks, probably who's been the best opener in SA20. I mean, the amount of sixes he's hit, he's probably made Betway a lot. They lost a lot of money with Will Jacks, the amount of sixes hit in Centurion. So you got your opener sorted and you get someone like Brevis. And I think you kind of need a little bit of experience now, probably coming in there and you go, okay, cool. Can we pick up potentially maybe a Reza Hendricks or someone like that? Yeah. He sort of comes in the mix. And I really thought you'll probably see someone like Rasmus Ferdinand. I know they bid for money, but he ended up back in Cape Town. So it's just great. Like you hear in the green room when the guys speak about T20 cricket, it's no longer just guys hitting bash. Like they speak out my Aiden going, this side needs a captain.
Yeah.
And you look at the Sunrisers side, they're going, okay, cool. You lose Aiden Markram, you lose a captain, but now the next guy you kind of buy, like, you got to buy a captain, like a Matthew Bretsky, captains the Warriors.
Yeah.
So you go, okay, he's from Peak. Maybe he comes in as a captain. And like now the plans are on these teams. It's so fascinating because some teams go, I just need a pinch hitter. Can I just get someone to come in to bat at 4?
Yeah.
Where some teams go, okay, I need someone to bat at strike rate of 130. So it does become interesting. Like in my mind, you just go, oh, he's the best player available. They go, no, Ash doesn't suit the way we play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's so interesting the way they go about putting together a squad.
Yeah, I think with Brevis for me, which, it was a great pickup, but then it leaves the capital super thin at the top. Spending 16 million is a huge hit to your cap space. So then where do you now build around? So that's going to be interesting.
Players, and I think that's... going into the tournament, we were saying like it's a great auction for the local players. I think now going into season 4, the franchises and the owners, they know the local players and the guys they can do. And you can sort of go, okay, listen, they are guys you can get for 500,000 base price of 200,000. You look at with the Sammy going to the Sunrisers for like $1.5 million. That's a season playing for the Proteas now.
Yeah.
He's going for money. Like Devin Conway somehow snuck in there to DSG and go for 325K, who's fantastic. So there's still guys you can, bargains you can, of quality players are still there that you can sort of find.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's quite funny how when the guys come out, and again, like not to be disparaging towards any players, but timing is key.
Yeah.
I think some teams are spending more than they would want for a player. But once you get into a bidding war with them, it's like, well,
I can't lose now.
We can't.
Your name comes up next. Like, we're quite tired of putting the pedals up.
Exactly. So, I'm not going to mention names here because it will sound a bit rough. But like if you suddenly want to get a guy for, say, 3 or 4, but now you've got to spend 5 or 6 of them or 7.
Yeah.
And then you do. And the next guy comes and goes, maybe you could have put some money into that guy. But it's not an exact science. Yeah. This is what we found so interesting, because now we're sitting in the stands and the two of us are giving a running commentary of this because it's so fun to think like, no, that team's got to get that guy. They have to get the Soak.
Yeah.
And then they lose him and they go, ooh.
Yeah.
But the worst is like, if it's like a, you know, a really, like we, our auctions auctions, like a really popular player, like, oh, he's definitely going unsold. Like,
unsold is like, but unsold, but I think that's where they're going to get the value. But
a lot of the express in the express draft,
in the express draft,
yeah. Cooks, just run us through the express thing. So, you know, in the first session of the marquees, what's happened is a few names have come up, and maybe the base price has been a bit too big, or the teams are kind of thinking that maybe they'll get someone really down the bottom with money. Yeah. How does the express round kind of work as compared to the other ones now?
It's basically a second chance. So like what the guys have is then the names come up and it's kind of the base value. And then the teams, there tends to be a bidding, but not much, but then the teams are just kind of looking to fill out the rest of their squad.
Yeah.
So then the guys tend to go for their base fee. And there's a lot of gems you can find there, because guys, you know, there's a number of Peter who's a pro tier now. He didn't get picked up. So now you go straight into the express round. And I think sometimes, Ben, like what hurts these players is the fact that teams are also going, listen, there's certain players who've trying to target in the marquee signings.
Yeah.
And you don't get them. And then you go like, because other teams also, like they're going, I'm going to raise that value for this. Like, I may not want him, but I'm going to mess it with your purse. So like, I'm going to raise the price up to 6 mil and go, yeah, okay, I'm out. And you're like, oh.
We saw that so many times.
Yeah, quite a few times.
And then like, my guys at the express route, so I'll see him later.
Yeah, there was a couple of instances that, hey, with like, you get bidding between two teams going up to about 2 million. A third or a fourth team would come in. They would take it to about 4 million, and then they go, now we're good. Yeah. And ultimately, a guy would get signed for 5 or 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also, I think, the interesting part about the right to match. I think a lot of players, a lot of franchises said, we really need these people back, because it is outside of the tangibles of the cricket game. It's your leadership qualities, your relationship with your coaches. That's what you're seeing a lot more happening now. That's why I was really surprised about Adrian Markham not being called back. And, you know,
look, in all honesty, they tried to get him back.
Yeah, and they fought. Yeah.
Durban Super
Super Giant said,
but also, no, guys, the big thing, you got to factor in. You know, you look at some of these players, like Adrian Markham, for example, he plays for Lucknow, Super Giants in the IPL.
Yeah.
You do kind of see a lot of the players, because now it's not just an IPL, it's a franchise. They've got teams in South Africa, teams in the Caribbean, teams in America. You look at Trent Bolt, for example, he plays all his cricket for the MI franchise, whether it's in West Indies or America, and Nicholas Perron does the same. I think all these teams, also, they're trying to align all their players and going, listen, I don't want my guy playing for Lucknow, but then playing for a different sort of franchise in a different competition. So one's sort of, he plays for me wherever he goes. And I think that's what's changing now in cricket, which is something, it's probably exciting to see, because of all these, the franchise level going, I want my guy to play for my franchise all over the world, as opposed to, he's going to play for
a top team,
100%.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, before we get back into the next few groups, we're going to get back into the room, but I think we must mention, Shaz, man of the match so far, Jacques Cullis.
Oh, yeah. No, guys, they betrayed my guy Jacques and they replaced him. But, you know, he's a legend, so we're going to let him be. I'm going to give him a pass. He wasn't the most charismatic dealing with the
I'll tell you what, I mean, guys, I felt bad for Jacques. Season one auction, they got asked content creators to do the job. The jog did.
Yeah.
And then we got replaced for a lot more pre-looking people.
We'll put the picture here so you understand.
And then jogs sort of come in. So we're like, when it's mentioned to us, we're like, no, you can have that job. Because
yeah.
I mean, I did in the first season, I did the all-rounder batch. It's your legs just give way of standing up there. And you're told not to smile. And it's kind of hard not to smile. And you're just standing on the board and you're just like, you feel like, oh, there's about 20 names in here.
Yeah.
Look, I think both of you have been very disparaging. If you want someone to stay at the crease, you get Jacques Cullis.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of Roald Dravid, I don't know who else we actually pick for this role.
This is a Shamlin. Leave the coaching box.
That's a great comeback there.
All right, guys, we're going to get back into this and see more of the action, and then come back with some more of the guests from today's Betway SA20 auction. The Betway SA20 auction, some of the biggest names in cricket, both today and of former days. One of them, of course, my biggest hero from school days onwards, it is Jacques Cullis, who has now joined Sandile and I.
Yes, the legend himself, Mr. Cricket himself. It's great to have you, Jacques.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a fun day, isn't it?
Jacques, it is. There's a lot of fanfare. So the main thing I want to ask you is, like, I think you had the best career in that you went into cricket when it was fully professional. You got the first sort of taste of IPL, T20, T20 exposure, that kind of stuff. I mean, do you feel like you had the best era?
I think these guys have got it good now, to be honest, with the amount of money that they're earning in that. But certainly from a cricketing era, yeah, for sure. Had some fun in our time, caught the start of IPL. Yeah. You know, I was fortunate enough to make a little bit of cash there now, but nothing like the guys are making today. And to be fair, they deserve every cent that they get. The guys, you know, putting on a show these days, I think the standard of white ball cricket has really improved, and it's really exciting for people to watch.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look from when you retired, essentially, although in my mind you never retired because there's highlights packages all over the world, and I'm still pushing for the shark colour stand at Newlands. I will die on that hill. But, I mean, the guys, as you say, the guys really do work so hard for it. And, you know, a tournament like this, is it fair to say that the guys, actually, like the younger guys coming through in particular, like a little bit of coaching from the older guys is so essential just for how they manage energy, expectations, all that kind of stuff, playing against the big crowds? How big is that sort of mentorship thing?
100% agree with you. You know, if I think back to my career, some of the most and best lessons that I learned were from ex-players. And I had some magnificent players in that change room, which you chew the air off and learn as much as you can. And in this, you know, format where you've got overseas coaches, you've got overseas players, young guys coming in that perhaps haven't been in that change room before, you know, it's just like a rag for them. Absorb everything. Mm-hmm. We learn as much as you can from these older guys and older coaches. Get an opportunity to play in front of full stadiums. You know, what more would a young guy want? Yeah. And I think we've seen in other competitions around the world, and particularly the IPL, where young guys have come through, and we see where Indian cricket is now today. And it's certainly that IPL has played a massive role in these kids coming through quicker and playing for the country sooner and producing good sooner for the country, which at the end of the day, you know, just bodes well for your national side.
Jacques, I had to ask because, you know, me and Ben always debate this matter about the formats, the different formats. Have you started warming up to the new formats of the game, the T20s, et cetera? Have you warmed up, or are you like us traditional old school guys?
Yeah, look, I caught it at the back end of my career, and perhaps it wasn't as serious when it first started when we were playing. So you didn't spend that much time working on it now, but boy, has that changed. Yeah. You know, now it's almost a forerunner of cricket. Yeah. But I still do believe that test cricket must be driven and must be there. It is, for me, the best format. And as long as the players keep on driving that, which I think is really important, and they do.
Yeah.
You know, test cricket is still the ultimate format, but this T20 is fun. It's brought new audiences. Yeah. The players enjoy it. Everybody loves watching it. Mm. It's brought in the cash. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
But I think it's one of those things where they can totally exist together. We see it like hybridizing in a variety of other sports now. The skill sets that the T20 guys are going, and to your point, how youngsters are developing, the skill sets and the confidence to try these things on big stages definitely help in a place like SA20. So when they do get a test call up or they are playing the bigger things, the guys are going to try stuff, right?
Definitely. You know, the young guys now are fearless and they sort of feel like they belong from a young age, which is great and which is what you want. And we've already seen it in our one-day stuff and the white ball stuff, how this tournament has helped our young players come through, and we're producing massive names when they're youngsters. So long may it continue. And I really do, you know, a while back, I think people weren't too positive about South African cricket.
Yeah.
And I think this tournament has really turned their mindset around, and these youngsters are showcasing what talent they've got and producing the goods, you know, at times when the pressure's on, which is fantastic for South African cricket.
Yeah, I mean, every sport's competitive, right? You've got to have the hooks. You've got to have the edge. Last thing I want to ask you quickly is, people talk about T20 crickets. They talk about evolving innovations in the game, that kind of stuff. You are always, in my opinion, so traditionally, fundamentally sound. You could play any format because good cricket's still good cricket. You know, is that something that people might lose sight of when they want to get into these teams? It's like, the, you know, training for certain things, not traditional things.
Yeah, I always compare it to you know, babies. You know, babies still in the modern day time, they still crawl before they walk.
Yeah.
And I still believe you've got to have half decent technique to be able to expand and play these type of shots. And yes, there is still a role for your traditionalist batter to bat in T20 cricket. You know, not every ball is being smacked out the ground. You still need one or two guys who you bat around, and the rest of the guys can give it a smack. But there's definitely place for your old traditional player that can play a big role. Yes, sure, guys that are aggressive probably win you, you know, the game on their own, but your traditionalists sort of manage the tournament and help you through the way of the tournament and get you out of tough situations, which is going to happen in this format.
I just wanted to ask the last question from my end. Are there any players that you're excited to watch about in this tournament? We saw Deval Brevas come in at an under 23 age, being so super exciting for at a national level and on a local level. Is there anybody you're watching for, anybody you're excited to watch throughout the tournament?
Look, obviously Brevis has now come through, and we know it's been a long time coming. The guys have been waiting for him to come through. So I think he'll try and stamp his authority on the tournament. Leandre Pretorius, I think he's been a find of last season. So I'm excited to see if he continues, you know, how he started last year, because sometimes season two is tougher than season one because the guys get to know you. So, you know, excited to see, you know, the usual names, you kind of know what you're going to get from them. So, that's it. But all these new guys, and I'm excited for a new name to come through.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's someone that we don't know yet and comes and does what these guys have done.
100%.
Yeah, no, final question. Jacques, what would be the average age of a sports fan that asks you for a photo still to this day?
Yeah, I still get it a little bit.
Oh, come on, it'll be someone. Yeah, these
incredibly modest.
I mean, as soon as we stop here, Sandile's going to be like this.
No, definitely I'm going to ask for the photo after this.
But, you know, it was fun while I had my time. And it's nice to watch these young guys come through and produce what they do and exciting. And like I said, I look back with my career with a lot of pride and joy and thankfulness to be able to have traveled the world, meet people, make friends, doing a job that I loved.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, look, I mean, there are so many interesting people here right now. As this auction is hotting up, we're getting a whole bunch of guys that are maybe going unsold. They're going to come back for the express round. So we're going to get back into that and see a couple of these teams still trying to pick up a bit of a bargain.
Yeah.
I mean, you pay for what you get in life, but some of these guys are actually slipping through the cracks here. So as you know, they've all got the allocated money. They've all got the spots to fill. Now it gets really frenetic on the auction front. The guy we wanted to talk to the whole day, the Betway SA20 League Commissioner, Graham Smith, is with us. Graham, it's been a long day, but a good day, huh?
Yeah. Listen, I think when we looked at the player regulations this year and how we were going to carve them up, we knew that this auction was going to be a big auction and another long one. I must say I was quite nervous going into this because, you know, the teams, you see the tension last night at the briefing, you know, how much work they're putting in, how important winning and getting the right type of group of players is. So our job at Central is to make sure we just try and deliver a seamless day and almost go unnoticed as much as possible. But I think in general, it was a great day with so many incredible stories. I think in particular, over 22 million into under 23 players.
That was huge. Investment. That was huge.
So, I mean, we as fans see the SA20 as a snapshot. You are in countless meetings, all kinds of strategy sessions. You've got an incredibly diverse team of different sort of skill sets. What have been some of the things that you've seen come from ideation to sort of execution that's really made you happy about this tournament?
Look, I think if I go back to season one, just getting season one done and, you know, getting us off the ground was huge because, you know, once we closed the six franchises, I mean, we literally were, you know, in August, and I think I had about two people that worked alongside me at that stage. So we had to build a team. We're now about 17 people, which is not a massive team. We obviously contract a huge amount going into season. But I think every year, you know, we try and get better at something. I think the couple of key fundamentals that we set up front was obviously quality of cricket.
Yes.
We wanted to be authentic. We wanted to be able to attract the right group of players and invest, you know, have the best South African players available. So I think quality of cricket is something we've managed to do very well. And that's something we get feedback from players. But also the sports and entertainment side, like reviving a cricket fan and getting new fans to the game was something that was important for us from day one. And I think executing that in our stadiums and getting that feedback from fans has been excellent.
I've got to ask you now, Graham, because I'm not going to say you've been a long time being an administrator. Do you miss it a little bit now, seeing how exciting it is? And you see all these young guys coming through early. We saw Devald going through at such a high level as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I'm in a fortunate position that I was able to be a part of the founding team of this and building it. So you're kind of in the weeds of that. And, you know, so I don't really sit there thinking, wish I was still a player.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't think I could be a player. It's been a good winter.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there will always be, you know, this thing of like, you know, if that could have happened in our day, I wonder what a Callis would have got or Ntini or whoever. But I think, you know, it's important for us to move South African cricket forward. I think, and like, I think we've done that.
Yep.
You know, if we go back 4 or 5 years, South African cricket was a terrible place.
Yeah.
I think we've seen the team performing well, winning trophies, talent coming through. And there's a bit of a chaos behind cricket again, which was missing for a long time.
Yeah.
Graham, I know people ask you questions all the time, and this is really bad etiquette of me as an interviewer. But I was going to say, like, because sport is my life, I've been subjected to so many really good things in the last 5 years. COVID was a big thing. SA20 got me back to cricket. I was one of those, like, waning kind of fans where it was like, I'm not really going to watch. I don't really care that much. SA20 has now made me care more about Test cricket. I watch the women's game. I watch a variety of white ball stuff.
Mm.
So that's not a question. That's just me saying, like, well done. Yeah. I mean,
no, I appreciate that. I think you were one of the majority. I would even think that it would be huge of me to say that. I think a lot of ex-players even felt like despondent about cricket in the country and where it was being led and how it was going and the team performances. And, like, honestly, when we built it, it was a big key thing that we wanted to get right is, you know, building that fandom again and the love for the game that I think had gone missing. Obviously, getting new heroes coming through, seeing kids in stadiums, they're trying to get, like, signatures. You know, my kids now, like, they resonate with the Rickleton and Rabada. They just, you know, want to see them back in that Cape Town team.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, honestly, what you've said is something that was important to us when we started SA20.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've heard this analogy being thrown around a couple of times. I was chatting to Cass Naidoo about it. It's like our generation of us guys in our 40s, Chase, you're almost there.
I'm 35. Don't
Benson the Hedges cricket was like that thing, right? Yeah. We still think about it because back then, rocked up with our parents, we'd go run around, play games, whatever.
Yeah.
And this is that for that generation. And it's no small feat to be able to do that because there are so many more demands on eyeballs nowadays. Smartphones have ruined many parts of sport. There's so many other distractions and, like, subscriptions, Netflix, all these kind of things. And yet you've got this sort of thing that's grabbing generations. So, again, not a question, just well done. I mean,
appreciate it, man.
I really think it's an incredible feat what you guys have done.
I think the challenge is always to just keep trying to get better. I mean, that's why today was such a big day for us.
Yeah.
You know, our franchises, who are obviously very experienced and know cricket well, but they had to learn also about
the new formats,
So, like, that's one of the main reasons why we carved it up. We're trying to keep a form of continuity for fans.
100%.
But, I mean, just the quality of coaches sitting around that table, I think, speaks volumes in terms of how they're going to progress players in South African cricket. I'm excited. I mean, I think for us, you know, we'd love to see better pitches this year. I think, you know, with the run-up to World Cup 27, you know, there's new lights being put in stadiums, upgrades. So, hopefully cricket over the next 2 to 3 years will just become a really positive story.
How many years do you reckon in budget could we have a high felt ground with a roof on?
Dead, wow.
Oh, God. Listen, don't talk to me about weather. I think last year, that's why I didn't shave today. I could show everyone the grays in the last 4 years. But I hate talking about it. If someone mentions the weather, pre-balled up to SA20, I'll start to get hard.
I live by the Wanderers, and that's chief. I've watched less cricket since I've moved to Illovo than before. Graham, final thing today. There were many key players throughout the entire day, from the owners to cameos with the players, the ex-players. I think one person that really stood out was Jacques Callis, though. Was he meant to be
on stage? You're not going to let him go.
Was he meant to be on stage for 2 hours?
Honestly, it made my day, actually.
It's made a lot of people's days.
Just seeing him having to stand there for so long. I mean, I think he smiled. No, he didn't smile.
He didn't smile at all.
In the third set, I said to him, can I get you a chair? And he was like, no way, someone's going to abuse me. Listen, I don't think any of us envisioned that first three sets, we're going to go and take so long.
Yeah.
I think a few franchises got caught off guard in those and then had to recover because there was some big whacks to some strategy in those first 3 months.
Yeah.
But that's what you mean. You called it. You said this was going to be the year the first 10 million rand was going to get eclipsed. Yeah. It happened. Adam Markram was the highest bid guy for 16 minutes or whatever.
For 16 it was. Whole minutes, and then it was game over.
Nice. Listen, I think he's probably pretty happy tonight.
Completely. Graham, we wish you the absolute best. We wish you dry weather, good pitches, and obviously packed crowds.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. Look forward to seeing you guys there.
Definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the next thing now is just seeing the fans come back. We're slightly earlier, more of the festive season this year. We have our first Boxing Day and Old Year's and New Year's Day game. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
It's going to be exciting.
All right. Good day. Long day. Great day.
Yo,
Shaz, we're all wrapped up here. The final players have gone to the final teams. Look, I know it's a little bit too early to really critique the teams, the squads, the depth, and all that kind of stuff. We're going to get to that closer to the tournament. Right. But what we have to talk about, of course, is the big signings for the day.
Yes, sir.
So the day started off with Devold Brevis being the hot, like, commodity.
Biggest one in the tournament.
16.5 million to the Capitals.
Yeah.
I personally, like I said, I don't want to get into it, but I think it would have been great if he had some more senior guys around him.
Yeah, some vets like he had last season. So it's going to be an interesting step up for him to see how he becomes now the superstar of that team. Because 16 million, 16 million, you are the guy now.
He's the guy. Hey, look, Eden Markham is also the guy. He was the highest ever bid player. It lasted all of 16 minutes, I think. He got then trumped by Brevis. But he's gone to DSG for 14 million. Massive signing for DSG. They were the guys that came in here with, like, between them and the Capitals, they came in with the most money. They wanted to make the biggest impression. They got the two best players.
Yeah, and I think outside of that, having Markram as a leader and a veteran in that room, especially with a whole bunch of young superstars on the come up as well, him and Quena are going to be, you know, they're going to look at leadership with regards to that. So I think that's going to be super awesome.
Yeah, Quena Parker is not going to be one of the highest earners here, but him going to DSG is massive, massive loss for the Paul Rawls, I think, because those Oaks are so committed to the youth. Yeah. And they let him go for something like 2.5.
Yeah.
Royal slipped up there. Vian Mulder was a bit of a surprise. He came just after the big money guys.
Yeah.
Joburg Super Kings really wanted Brevis. They were in the hunt for him. They ended up getting Vian Mulder, the all-rounder, for $9 million to JSK.
I think what's going to be interesting, the all-rounders are going to be the sneaky links in this tournament, because this is a game where you've got to have runs and you've got to be able to ball. So this is going to be, I think it's a good position for him to be in.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, they lost Gerald Kutsia, so he's now going to DSG. He was $7.4 million. He was the fourth highest today. So I think Vian Mulder is a good signing for JSK, but Gerald Kutsia, a great signing for DSG.
Yes. Once again, backing fire with fire right there. I love that bowling attack. I think him, Gwena, veterans, having good leadership behind him is going to be super exciting for that team.
Yeah, we forget. Gerald Kutsia is all of 25 years old. He's been a bit unlucky with injuries. Okay, so Nandre Berger, JSK managed to retain him. He's just come back in the Proteus mix. $6.3 million. I think he was a good buy. They had to have him. And then the other big one for the day was Matthew Bretzky. Phenomenal one-day player for the Proteas. Yeah. He seemed to score 50 every single time. And Sunrisers, Eastern Cape were massively excited to get to him, seeing as they had lost Markram.
Yeah, and I think for me, a nice sneaky one was Russ Van der Dessen going to MI Cape Town. I think it adds into a championship-caliber team. Adding that extra batting there is going to be absolutely amazing.
I tell you what, I think Pretoria Capitals, if they had got Rassi, that would be a massive sign.
That would have been a
game
changer, right? Yeah.
Okay, look, so that's pretty much wrap you up the players. We need to talk matches. We need to talk fixtures, because we told you at the start of the show, you need to get to sa20.co.za right now, because there's a pre-registration for the tickets. So you don't want to be left high and dry here. These games are sellouts. They're going to be absolute sellouts. So if you go here, 15th of September before midnight. So don't wait and just become part of the out there average person who just wants to get a ticket last minute. Some of them won't be available for you. Simple as that. These games are going to get sold out. Okay, Shaz, the exciting ones here. Okay, so obviously the big game, opening game, 26th December on Boxing Day. We've got MI Cape Town versus the Durban Super Giants.
That's going to be
huge.
That's a
massive,
huge game, because especially because we said that, you know, Super Giants came in and they built well.
Yeah.
So
first game.
Right. And we want to see what Cape Town got, because we've seen what happens with defending champions. You might become complacent, but the target might be on your back. So you kind of have to go defend your honor there.
Look, a target's in the back. And I tell you what, the Bears are going to be in hand, because Boxing Day to kick off. Peak festive season.
Peak. Yeah.
Okay, so the final pool game concludes January 19th. So those are our preliminary games. 26th December, January 19th. The qualifier one, that'll be Wednesday, January 21st. That'll be at Kingsmead. So I really hope that the rain's going to play ball here, because as you know, December, January is quite wet.
Yes.
In the upper reaches of the country. So that'll be the first qualifier, which is obviously the best and second best in the log. Mm-hmm. They play that first qualifier, 21st of Jan. The eliminator is going to be teams 3 and 4. They're going to play at Centurion, 22nd of January. And then the qualifier 2, which is basically the loser of the qualifier 1, taking on the winner of the eliminator, Friday, January 23rd at the Wanderers. So those are your tickets. These tickets will be available from October the 16th, along with the final, if you can get it. The final is going to be at Newlands. It's going to have the Joburg Super Kings, maybe.
Not a chance. And I think we gave you a mouthful, but we will be keeping you posted throughout. I think me and you have our favorite teams that we're backing. So we will keep guys posted throughout about what's going on with the SA20.
Sunday, January 25th, that'll be the final of this tournament. But that's not where it ends, of course. There is so much to get into in the lead up to this tournament. As you can see, Shaz and I have had an absolute whale of a time today. Yeah. We're so enjoyed it here today. Yeah. All the people, all our new friends.
Jacques. And we finally got Jacques.
Got to meet Jacques. And now, so 26th December, you'll get a whole big run in. Thanks for watching this week and catch us back next week because we are having a deep dive into special sporting teams events show. We'll make it sound more succinct next week.
Just like, say what?
It's been a long day.
Yeah.
Catch you back then.